Kate Delaney, if you've never heard the show before, I hope you stick around, because it's no joke. We're going to dive deeper into a couple of different things. April Fool's is so weak, isn't it? They even played off the theme of April Fool's when it came to the Obamacare figures. How many people signed up for health care? 7.1 million are enrolled. But the problem is the number doesn't really tell the story. How many young people signed up? How many people didn't have insurance? How many people have paid for the insurance, that kind of thing. And then the problems behind the scenes with people trying to actually use their coverage since it all started back in October. I mean, this is the story that's not going to end, though, because if nothing else, what's the most one of the most important things in your life? Think about it. My grandmother used to say this to me. My great-grandmother used to say this to me when I was a kid. Of course, I was healthy. What happened to me when I was a kid, I like skinned my knee. I'd think, why would you constantly tell me the most important thing in your life is your health? Boy, it is no April Fool's joke. The most important thing in your life is your health, because you have no idea in some cases what you're carrying around in your wallet. Do you feel pretty comfortable that that card that's in there has got you set up for whatever it is you need if you're in some kind of accident or get some bad news or just need some simple test that cost a ton of money to go get a CAT scan or go get a mammogram or go get a prostate check for cancer, go get that cancer screening test. And, you know, it surprises a lot of people when they suddenly get these bills in the mail and then find out that what they thought they had covered wasn't covered. And that's the other big shoe to drop on a lot of people when it comes to what they signed up for. They're not really sure. Some people swear, and it's really the people, and I've said this a couple times, it's really the people on the lower economic rung that somehow can afford it a little bit, enough that now they have coverage and they didn't have it. But I think those numbers are small, where it's worth it because they're actually getting the coverage, and the coverage kicks in for them where it's actually they're getting some money for it. So in other words, they've got funds coming in, they're covered. That's the word I was looking for. They're covered, where in the middle class you're really not covered. I mean, you've got the health card, but what's your deductible and what's the premium? And then you weigh those two things and that's the difference in the middle, and it's a lot higher than a lot of people thought. I guess they didn't understand that affordable meant someday may be affordable. However, it was a day to celebrate because the number was 7 million for the president. He was at the Rose Garden at a ceremony, and he was cheered by his administration staff and a lot of other supporters that were there. And the big quote was, the bottom line is, under this law, the share of Americans with insurance is up and the growth of health care costs is down. That's good for our middle class. That's good for our fiscal future. And that's the problem, where I just disagree with that. Good for our middle class? Not right now. Good for the fiscal future? Only if those premiums don't go sky high and they straighten out what's covered and what's not covered. I agree that people working hard to not have health coverage, to not have health insurance, something's screwed up about that whole idea. But there has to be some other things that have to happen instead of what we're seeing right now, because I think a lot of people are going to be really upset come December and come January of next year when more people are dropped from businesses from healthcare because they're not going to be able to afford it. So if there was going to be some digging and refining, that's where it needs to happen. But it was a day where they were pumping their fist in D.C. and other people were reacting. The Republicans, pretty much party lines. Democrats were happy for the most part, and Republicans were upset in the sense that they think that the numbers are inflated and it doesn't matter anyway because of some of the problems that are coming and some of the problems that have already happened as a result affordable health care. Meanwhile, there was a earthquake that also had a lot of talk of tsunami going on, even in the United States. Chile, which is in the Ring of Fire, so they know that this is always a possibility, suffered a major earthquake, 8.2. It triggered a tsunami that hit the northern part of that country. Two people died. Three were seriously injured in the quake. The Chilean Navy said the first tsunami wave hit the coast within 45 minutes of the earthquake. However, what was good about that is that there was some time to evacuate part of the coast, and a tsunami warning was issued for all the South and Central American Pacific Coast areas. So you had a lot of people that went for higher ground. You know, Chile is the number one copper producer, and the mining firms there are such a key for economic growth in that country and for workers. You know that because remember the trapped miners and all of that. But there was no serious damage to the mining operations, which would have really cost a lot of people a lot of jobs. And who knows if anybody was working too at that time. It was at night, so most likely they have different shifts, but I don't think so. In 2010, there was a big quake that triggered a tsunami that devastated a lot of those coastal towns. Remember, there was over 500 people that were killed. So this time, you had landslides that blocked roads and highways. You had power that went in and out, but not the kind of devastation that they saw 4 years ago. Not that kind of devastation, thank goodness. And it's weird, the tsunami warnings, they also issued them for Peru and Ecuador and Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua. Same thing, they said they were all at risk. And even the western part of the United States, Oregon, California, can you imagine? I mean, what would that tsunami look like if it hit in this area? All right, quickly, let's go to Darren in Washington. Hey, Darren, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty good.
What's up? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I was just listening on there. They're talking about Obamacare, and they're all excited because 7 million people signed up. But the number they never mention is how many of those people are being subsidized by the government that aren't paying any premiums at all.
Yeah, and that those are the people, the ones that are subsidized, who are the winners. It's everybody else who's got to pay for that in the end that we're stuck. I think the middle class, that's why when they say this is great for the middle class, I think the people in the middle class are the ones that are stuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because we end up paying all the premiums for the people who can't pay for their insurance and never had insurance except Medicare or Medicaid or Medi-Cal in California, all the state-run medical programs for people who couldn't afford coverage that could have got coverage anyway. So I don't really understand the purpose behind the whole thing.
Yeah, you know what, Darren? I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's what I always say. I don't understand. If somebody approached you, if somebody approached me and said, how do you feel about affordable health care coverage? We would say, yeah, sure, of course. But then when you see and you peel this back, you peel back the onion on it, it's not what it appears to be. And I really think it's going to get worse for the middle class. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Ain't nobody else like me around.
Welcome back to America Tonight in our virtual green room. John Kiernan, he's going to answer a very interesting question. He's from Wallet Hub. Wallet Hub did an interesting report. They analyzed big bank savings accounts from the largest city in one of the states that they looked at. They found a couple of different institutions, Citi, Capital One, and Wells Fargo. I know people are paying attention to what I'm saying right here, because what they were trying to show, and it was fascinating. The second I got the release, I dug through it, that with the 10 biggest, largest, whatever you want to call it, U.S. banks controlling more than 70% of the deposit market, can we say that most people's accounts are from whichever major bank institution happens to be operating in their area? So the question becomes, does banking locally save you money? And JK is the senior analyst with Wallet Hub Reports. So thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it, John.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, so I just kind of put some broad strokes that you guys threw out to us, the meat that, you know, that drew me in, the question that you actually were asking. So we'll break it down, but overall, does banking locally save you money?
Well, it can. It really depends on what city you live in and which particular major banks happen to be operating there. As you mentioned, major banks, the top 10, control roughly 70% of the market, so most people are getting their bank accounts from whichever major bank happens to be operating locally. And the thing about that is it kind of creates a luck of the draw type environment for people's bank accounts. So if you happen to live in a city where the two most aggressive or generous banks happen to be operating, you stand a pretty good chance of getting an above average rate in a national sense. But if you happen to live in one of the states with the least aggressive or least generous banks, then you tend to get lower rates. So it's really important to, obviously you need to consider local factors such as kind of the size of the ATM market and local branch availability, if that's something that's important to you. But it's also important to kind of think broader, think outside of your local box, if you will, and consider kind of both bank accounts from major banks operating in your area, maybe online-only accounts from banks that are based elsewhere, as well as some local banks and credit unions to really get a sense of what offers are available, and then you can go on to focus on the terms that are most important to you and kind of casting aside the ones that really don't matter as much.
Yeah, you know, and you point that out so well in this report. I mean, this is crazy. You talk about Capital One offering pretty much uniform rates throughout the United States, but they have promotional interest rates that vary by region, as you're saying. And this is crazy, John. And I'm sure when you got all this information and you were analyzing it, promo rates in New York City are 113% higher than those in New Orleans. Is that population factor for them?
It's really kind of actually difficult to tell exactly what the motivations are in terms of having higher rates in one city versus the other. And banks kind of obviously rotate these offers fairly regularly depending on kind of their exact strategic plan of attack at the moment and kind of the types of new consumers they're trying to bring into the fold. So just because I guess rates are relatively high in New York City right now doesn't mean that's going to be the case in a couple months if Capital One switches its approach a little bit or other major banks kind of come in and recognize that they're losing out on some consumers in certain areas because other banks are offering regionally based terms. So this is kind of a fluid situation, but the main thing is for people to understand that the bank offers do vary geographically in certain instances, as well as kind of just an inherent difference from state to state, depending on which banks are operating there. So it's essentially understanding that those differences exist and then taking into account, at least to a certain extent, when you're looking for a new bank account.
Yeah, we should tell everybody, too, it's tremendous, the whole report. You can go to wallethub.com and check it out. But here's a staggering number. You mentioned that in talking about these interest rates, that how much do they vary? I mean, when you're talking about interest rates, how much can they vary from city to city, John?
They can vary. I mean, as you mentioned, the promo rates in New York City area are 113% higher than those in New Orleans. The interest rates offered by mega banks that are operating, for example, in New Orleans, Houston, Boston, Burlington, Vermont, are 31 to 54% higher than the national average. So that's pretty significant there. And the lowest average APYs can be found in Indianapolis, Detroit, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, and Little Rock, Arkansas. And those rates are about 72% lower than the national average and actually 82% lower than the highest available rates in New Orleans.
So the lesson here is you really have to do a little homework. If you want to decide, it depends where you live, and you need to call around and ask some questions. Take the time to dig a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah, and the process of really kind of doing comparison shopping for anything these days, whether it's something so clothing or a credit card or a bank account, it's a lot easier now that we have kind of the internet tools and we can easily go onto a website like WalletHub and compare thousands of these bank accounts in terms of specific factors that we're looking for in order to find the best account for our needs. But the main kind of takeaway is to not always think nationally, not always think locally, kind of think the whole market and really pare down your options in terms of what exactly you're looking for rather than just what happens to be around the block.
Yeah, and some of it makes sense, too, because of where they're located. You know, like you said, there could be a lot of factors in looking at these various rates. But I had a buddy that said to me one time, hey, if you have enough people and you know how to do it, still the best thing in the world to do, and this is from a way different perspective, is to open a bank. I mean, so we're not seeing the death of local banks necessarily, are we?
Well, this report in particular only looked at large national banks, but we did another report looking at the banking landscape more generally, and there are kind of bountiful options in terms of local banks and credit unions, regardless of where you happen to live. And actually, credit unions and small institutions often do offer the best terms, but that's, again, not kind of a uniform truth. And so people have to confirm for themselves in terms of the exact type of accounts they're looking for at that time. There are a lot of rules of thumb that people can use to kind of guide them, but none of them should be taken as gospel.
In putting this report together, I guess I should have asked this at the top, but now we're listening to all this great information. What was the methodology? How did you arrive at what you arrived at, some of the information that we've already talked about?
So what we basically did was just some good old-fashioned kind of calling around and looking at bank websites kind of based on different zip codes. And so we looked at the bank accounts that are available from each of the 10 largest banks in the largest city in each state to get the regional hierarchy and differences that you can see in the report.
All right, so in doing that, in calling around and picking the various areas, big, smaller, that kind of thing, you know, it's interesting. One thing I noticed, you had Houston, Texas in there and talked about the number of mega banks with branches in the city, 6, and you talked about what the average was there, but for the most part, not too much in Texas. Did it have anything to do with whether or not you had state income tax or any of that kind of stuff, or no, it was just random?
We didn't really look into the particular factors of what drove a bank to have a presence in one city or other than versus another. But that's definitely a valid option. I'm not exactly sure about the particular motivations about one bank setting up shop in one city versus another.
Yeah. All right, interesting stuff. Wallet Hub, they go to Wallet. People, you can go to WalletHub.com. There's a bunch of other information there, too, a lot of reports. Other reports they've done, like the Bessemer State to be a taxpayer, yikes. And a few other things, Bessemer's place to start up a business, too, as well. John Peter, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Self-reliance.
Survival supplies.
Survival skills.
National experts.
Get it all at the only free-to-attend national event exclusively for preppers.
This spring in Tulsa.
It's the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo.
A must-be-there event.
Presented by American Living. This massive expo will include special guests.
David Mays from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers.
Plus, GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach via live video conference.
Hear Dr. Bones.
Nurse Amy. And members of the American Prepper Network. Network,
along with many other leading national experts.
Learn life-saving tips, CPR, how to handle crisis situations.
Walk through a bomb shelter and much, much more.
2 big days, April 5th and 6th at the Tulsa Expo Square in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's April 5th and 6th. Doors open at 9 a.m. with absolutely free admission.
Don't miss the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, America's largest emergency preparedness event.
Get your free tickets now.
NPSExpo.com.
That's NPSExpo.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
In 1965, this was the sound. One more time. Fantasy and a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come here, mama, and get your fantasy. And your fantasy is fine to be. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Up at the tail end of the hour, we do it by the numbers. We can count. But before we get there, the biggest number that the White House can count is over 7 million. It took a massive victory lap when the president appears from behind the curtain and addresses reporters who are in the room. It's a victory lap. So the sign-ups, the smiles, the fist pumps, all on display. Republicans frown and renew their idea of fighting to repeal it. Here's a little bit of what the president sounded like at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Despite several lost weeks out of the gate because of problems with the website, 7.1 million Americans have now signed up for private insurance plans through these marketplaces. 7.1. Those who've based their entire political agenda on repealing it have to explain to the country why Jeannie should go back to being uninsured. They should explain why Sean and his family should go back to paying thousands and thousands of dollars more. Thanks in part to leaders like Nancy Pelosi and Dick Durbin and all the members of Congress who are here today, we could not have done it without them, and they should be proud of what they've done. They should be proud of what they've done. Change is hard. Fixing what's broken is hard. Overcoming skepticism and fear of something new is hard. A lot of times folks would prefer the devil they know to the devil they don't. Making affordable coverage available to all Americans, including those with pre-existing conditions, is now an important goal of this law. And in these first 6 months, we've taken a big step forward.
So, big step or not, what say you, America? If you want to jump on it, you can now. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. The numbers, as I've already mentioned, we talked about already at the start of this show. What's interesting is how many people are going to keep the insurance? Are they paying for the insurance? What happens in these exchanges? There's a lot of questions about it. But you can't deny that hitting the actual number, hey, is what they said they were going to do. So if I'm the person running the White House, of course he's going to, of course the president is going to go and he's going to pump up his plan and talk about the fact that they hit the goal that they said that they would hit, especially when nobody thought it would hit 7 million, including me. But certainly the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, they were looking at probably 6 million, and a lot of that is because of all those glitches in the beginning. So is it a phony number? I mean, that question of the phony number or not, the 7.1 million, is it inflated? Well, it's meaningless, I suppose, because you don't know how many people have paid, how many were previously uninsured. You heard the president personalize it, which, again, bravo, I would tell him to do the same thing, specifically mentioning people who now have insurance. But how many people of that number are the uninsured? How many of those people will pay? Some of them just signed their name. The overwhelming majority who signed up, the president says, had been uninsured, but only signed up for the Affordable Care Act because they couldn't keep their plans, right? So do they fall short of the goal of insuring the people without health insurance or not? How many are young and how many are healthy? These are all the same themes, though, that we've been talking about. And that's nothing new from the cocktail conversation in Washington, D.C. There is a line really across Pennsylvania Avenue, all the way down Connecticut and New Jersey, and then it leads and wraps itself around the Capitol. And it's two different sides, and we already know those factions and how they portray what has happened with health care in this country. But I wish we had those hard numbers, because I'd like to know. And it would be amazing if all of those people were uninsured. I'd have to give it to the president. If all those people were uninsured and they're going to pay for it, that would be something. But I don't know that we're going to know that. I don't think we're going to know it. And are we going to know whether it's a success or a failure? Some people say it depends on what state you're from. I say it depends on what your economic situation is. But some people would say it depends on the demographics of your state. For example, Oregon, they targeted over 189,000, but they got 38,000. Washington was looking for 272,000. They got 107,000. New Mexico needed 66,000. They got 15,000. The problem is, for those exchanges, they need bigger numbers and they need younger demographics. So that's a problem. Because how do you avoid the landmine? How do you know that you're in an exchange where you're going to get fair coverage and affordable coverage? Because, you know, they can't control that. You have to have youth. You have to have numbers. I mean, that's just the way it was set up. That's the idea of an exchange, any kind of an exchange, is supposed to be to the benefit of the people that are all part of it. So what happens? Are you going to have to, what about the government subsidies and the enrollees there and the insurance companies? How are they going to be able to hold down the premium cost? Because that's the key. Nobody wants to see their premium go up. They don't. If they can hold the premium costs down, which hasn't happened in many cases, that's the key. That's the key thing that some of this hinges on. That's the key thing. So how many of the people, too, who enrolled in Obamacare? Because remember, there was, as was explained to us many, many times, and some of you know this because you might have signed up for it. I know, actually, I know a couple people who did. So Did you get the silver plan? Or did you get a different plan? Because remember, there are a couple of different plans to get. And the silver plan was full coverage. And that would be cost effective. And why would the silver plan, which would be full coverage, why would that be cost effective? It would be because you needed medical treatment. So those plans are subsidized. And that's the idea. The number of six people, I think that those are the disproportionate numbers that won't add up, I believe, in the end. And for some of those states I mentioned, that's part of the problem, too. The demographics in the state. If you have enough healthy people, then you've got a winner, right? If you're connected to those people in New York, let's say, or Kentucky, or Kansas, or South Dakota, or Utah, especially Utah, because they got a lot of younger people to sign up. And I don't know if this is a surprise or not, but the District of Columbia did better than any other place. They had 45% of the people that participated in the prime demographic of 18 to 34 years old. Hawaii didn't do so great. Arizona didn't do so great. Maine didn't do so great. So how do you make up for the numbers that are woefully behind? And I would say that in some of those states that I mentioned, they're going to deem that it's a failure because they're going to struggle to figure out how to make that work. How do you make it work? It's going to have to be heavily subsidized. Definitely. Dan in Texas, you have the floor. Hello. Dan.
I had to put my headphones down.
That's okay.
Okay. Pavlov and his dogs did the midnight bark in the daytime, and they even brought in the winning team from last year's baseball game champions to promote all this dog and pony show that they got going on. But what they didn't say about Obamacare was that they went recruiting in three Mexican consulates. Se habla español, anybody? And guess what, boys and girls? The bottom line is you are going to pay for it. It doesn't matter who they sign up. The majority of them are going to get subsidies, but it's going to be subsidies on the backs of all of you, including all you people that are in college that are looking for jobs when you get your degree and get out and think that you're going to have something going for you. Forget it. The door is going to be slammed in your face because this is going to destroy jobs like nobody's business. They're not telling you about the upcoming dump that's going to happen right after the 2014 elections, when all the major employers dump you out on the exchange. This includes Rick in Illinois. And the death panels will be installed for people that need treatment, and the government will decide on whether or not they get it. Sarah Palin was right. Take that, Rick. Have a nice day. Anyway, that's all from me.
I love that, Dan, going right after Rick's head. I think you're right, Dan, in the sense that that's what's going to happen unless something drastically changes, but I don't know what that would be, because all of a sudden that's going to kick in, he's right, after those midterms and then heading into the next year when the rules are tweaked a little bit more. People are going to be dumped and they're going to be flooded onto the insurance exchanges, and that will be nightmarish because it goes back to that whole thing of the demographics and the premiums and what happens. How do you make all of that work? And so the great coverage you had, you're just like those people that were shocked when you got dumped and you had to go and surf for someplace else to get your insurance.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Before using Heart and Body Extract, my energy level was very, very low. I could only walk a few feet and then would have to sit down. I was tired and lethargic. But after taking Heart and Body Extract, my energy level has improved greatly, and I can now walk longer distances without getting tired so fast. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
$0.57, what'll it get you? Mudslide death toll number sadly climbing. And also a Catholic archbishop living the high life. You know, that it's very hard to hide when the price of your mansion is announced. You can't hide for cover. In fact, let's start there. The Atlanta archbishop ended up apologizing for living in a $2.2 million residence. What about all those poor people you're supposed to be helping? So, I mean, I have to say it is a gorgeous place. I saw it and I thought, wow, what celebrity basketball player lives there or basketball wife? The Archbishop Wilton Gregory didn't get the Pope's message about being modest and modest living. I mean, this was days after the Pope removed a German bishop for his lavish spending on a renovation project. And this Atlanta archbishop apologized for building a $2.2 million mansion as his residence. He bowed to criticism from all the parishioners and said that he would consider selling the new home in Buckhead, one of the toniest areas in Atlanta. So letters, emails, meetings, and all the local Catholics told Gregory the price tag was outlandish, especially because of what the Pope was saying about frugality. So what is he to do with this Tudor-style mansion, 6,400 square feet? Wow, 6,400 square feet. What do you get in 6,400 square feet? Two dining rooms, a safe room. Also, a giant wet bar, I guess. Wow. I think he's going to probably find himself in a heap of trouble. I mean, recently, too, in Newark, New Jersey, the parishioners there criticized their Archbishop, John Myers, and withheld some donations after they learned that the Archdiocese was spending $500,000 to expand his retirement house, adding an indoor therapy pool, fireplaces, and an office library. Oh, you can only laugh at that. Wow. So, Francis, you got some work to do. Looks like you better get over here to America. You know, the German bishop, man, they ixnayed him quick. He spent $43 million on a new house and related renovations for that house. Man, this is a different kind of pope. He is going to clamp down on all this spending. And it's true. How can you pass around a collection plate and a basket? How can you pass that around twice, sometimes three times in a mass, and expect that people are going to feel good about that when they're struggling themselves? And this is how you're living. That just doesn't add up. That's, you would think they would realize that, but I guess they didn't. All right, on to the sad note, but we got to keep you up to date on this. I've had a lot of emails about it. The death toll for the mudslide in Washington is now up to 28 officially. You know, the medical examiner's office is good for them. They want to make sure they properly, you know, have the autopsies of the people that they're digging out so they can identify them and they don't just throw out numbers. So that's what they're doing. And they've got that many people. They've got that many people, 28, and 22 have been identified. Wow. You know, and these are all over the board, the ages and whatnot of the people. 65-year-old Tom Satterley and a 23-year-old Adam Farnes. And, boy, and it's the same. Pretty much what it is blunt force injuries. Because when the mud covers them over, that's what it is, like just blunt force. It's so heavy. And that's how they list it on the death certificate. So it's, man, it's rough. I'll tell you, your thoughts have to go to those, not just the families, but I think those workers, the recovery workers. That'd be tough. I mean, you do what you have to do, and there's a reason why someone can do that work. But I think it'd be really, really, really rough to see that and to just see the hopelessness of what happened there. 57 cents. Doesn't sound like a lot, does it? So GM is being slammed for that at a hearing for failing to address 57-cent deficits linked to the deaths. And we're talking about ignition parts. So members of Congress knew this was easy prey. They tore into GM's management at a hot Capitol Hill hearing looking into fatal car wrecks linked to this defective part, the ignition. Congresswoman DeGetty from Colorado said, "We know that GM made a series of terrible decisions. We know that this tragedy has exposed significant gaps in federal laws that allowed them to do so." The GM, the General Motors, rather, CEO, Mary Barra, the head of the nation's auto safety watchdog group, testified as well before this House subcommittee on the defect in the small cars that is linked to 13 deaths. So fueling the outrage is the fact that the documents show that GM actually looked into the possible fixes for the problem back in 2005, but they decided it would be too expensive to address it. And it turned out to be 57 cents apiece to fix it. So, I mean, even the congresswoman was smart to Getty to emphasize it. She gets it. You got to have props. So she used a prop. She held up the ignition switch for one of the cars and said a small spring inside of it failed to provide enough force that caused the car's engine to turn off when they went over a bump. And it showed how easy it was for a light set of keys to move the ignition out of the run position. So then that causes the engine to stall and the driver loses power steering and power brakes. Oh, that's scary. And can you imagine that kind of death? And why didn't they address it? And the CEO, all she could say, she found it disturbing. And they wanted answers. Well, who did this? Who do we look to? They have it in the record saying that This is what it would cost, but it would be too expensive to do it. Meaning recalling the cars, getting them all back in there, what the auto body shops would have to go through, that whole thing. So all the CEO could do is that, you know, we take action without consideration for cost, is what she's saying now. And she apologized to the people affected by the recalls, and especially to the people who lost family members and friends. She said, I'm deeply sorry. And she said it angers her that they had a situation that took over a decade to clean up. But she wasn't the CEO then. She didn't even say that, but she wasn't the CEO then. She just kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Congress wants to know if they should strengthen a 2000 law, one that kicked in then, that was supposed to improve communication between automakers and the government. It's a law. You have to communicate with the government. Well, there's this thing called, money. And I guarantee, I mean, who and how deep it went and what were the discussions, who knows. But if you have, if you sit there and say, look, it's a spring and this is what's happening, and then somebody sits there, they're not necessarily thinking, oh, people are going to die. They're thinking, well, they probably won't have too many problems with it. And maybe people have problems, but then that gets corrected or they bring it in, which is bad all the way around. So knowingly saying that they knew what the problem was, but it just didn't make any sense. It would be too expensive to fix it. And then you have those deaths directly linked to the problem. Oh, that is bad news. That is bad news for GM because they're going to end up paying. Not that they necessarily wouldn't have had to, because this is an easy layup class action suit, even individuals, whatever. But it's still, we go back to the same thing. It doesn't bring people back. I mean, I would be so enraged if this was the case. If I had someone in my family end up dead because of a spring in an ignition part that they knew. If they didn't know, that's a different story. But knowing it ahead of time, knowing it could have been fixed, and then they wouldn't have been in that situation, man, that is a bitter pill to swallow, let me tell you.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.